Good morning, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Good morning, sir. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. If you have trouble hearing me or understanding, let me know and I'll explain.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right now, it sounds really good from you right at this point in time. All right, so you're appearing before the Arundel Board of Deputy Clemency this morning in regard to a parole hearing. Would you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
My name is Alex Cruz Mills. Number is 119719.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to introduce a board member who will be conducting your hearing now. On the screen to your far left will be the Honorable Michael Johnson, then the Honorable Gary Rittenhouse, then in the center we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. Then all the way to the right is the Honorable Louis Canales, and my name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead this morning. Okay, so we have, just so you know, as we move along, it's like there's several supporters for you here, and there's several people on the victim side. So I'm going to go with some information about your sentencing and the offense. And if I go along, if there's something I say that you think is incorrect, let me know, and we'll discuss it and get straightened out.
Yes, sir.
And as we do go along, I'll just verify with you that everything sounds okay. And once we get past that, we'll have an opportunity for the board to get to know you a little better, and then your supporters and opponents will have an opportunity to speak. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't see one. Is there an attorney present for Mr. Mills? No attorney? Okay, thank you. Okay, sir. So, you're 55 years old now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, serving a life sentence for first degree murder, which began on April 25th, 1994. You were convicted by a jury and you were sentenced by March 14, 1996. You were parole eligible on April 25th, 2019. You were certified for discharge for whatever parole under arrest or absolute discharge on November 25th, 2018. And this is your third time before the board. And just so you understand, sir, up to about 6 months prior to your parole eligibility, the certification starts coming out from Department of Corrections time count. So they certify you in that hearing. If the board were to decide to release you, it wouldn't happen until your honor after your parole eligibility date. Okay? You understand that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, since this is your first time before the board, no one here has actually had an opportunity to get to know you all. So once I get to that point, we're going to give you an opportunity to tell us some stuff about you, and we'll just see how you've changed since you've been in prison and those sort of things. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. So it seems that, and this is based on the information that we have in our packets, February 28th, 1993, your estranged wife was found by her oldest son. She had been shot in the chest and was pronounced dead upon arrival at the hospital. An extensive investigation was conducted, and it was found that Frank Estrella had shot the victim, and he was paid to do so. It was determined that Laura Valencia had arranged for the murder and that she had supplied the cash. You denied me part of the murder, but you did have a history of domestic violence. I also said that you received a large insurance settlement for a work injury, and due to the agreements about spending the money, your life fell apart. So in other words, you received a large settlement for an injury, and the money kind of was the evil thing that destroyed the marriage. That sound fairly correct, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Also, to be noted that at the time of the offense, when the wife was murdered, all three of the children were present in the house, which put them in danger of harms also. You had a criminal history which included several domestic violence charges and other related offenses. You also were a heavy drinker. You had very discipline and no guilty disciplines in the last 5 years. That's very commendable, sir. You got thumbs around you. You have good family and community support. You have a good release plan with a probable employment and planned residency with your mother in Tucson. Okay, so since now that none of the board members have talked to you before, we'd like to take this opportunity to get to know you a little better. And so part of that is, why don't you, in your words, tell us what was going on in your life and your mind and about this offense?
Well, what was going on in my mind throughout this offense, I was young and young and did not place, good choices and they were lifestyle that was just, erratic in my behavior and stuff like that. And I guess loneliness and just confusion. I also want to say that I am responsible for my actions that I committed 25 years ago. I'm very enjoying things that I did. That led to the murder of my wife, mother and knows. And I will forever be sorry and worship for that. I was young and did not place emphasis in the value of life. And we're raising with the heart, sir, and has for the past 25 years. I wish I could bring them back. I feel a deep emptiness in my heart for the loss I created. I'm deeply remorseful for my actions, for my lifestyle, and the cost of life of my wife, Norma Mills. I know I hurt and I placed the blame in family's lives. Norma's parents, Joe and Alicia Hernandez, the brothers and sister, Joey, Fernando and Norma Hernandez, and a lot of the family and other children, Alexis, Abdullah, and Brian Mills. I robbed our children of a childhood with my mother, and this hurts deeply, but the Lord compared to the hurt I caused everyone. Mama's family as well as our children. I am deeply sorry for being responsible for the murder of my wife, Norma Mills. I know what I robbed her from the most precious gift. But I continue to ask God, Norma in heaven, and all the children, and Norma's family to forgive me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and please forgive me.
Okay. So you're saying now that you did arrange for her murder?
It's not that I arranged it, sir. I had some involvement for my actions, I am responsible for the murder of none of this.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you this. The woman that is mentioned in the report, Miss Valencia, was she your girlfriend at that time?
She was the girlfriend, yes.
Okay. Yeah, but then, I mean, it doesn't make it clear as to her relationship to you, but it is, you know, it kind of indicates that probably what was going on. So, what kind of injury did you get that she got the big settlement for?
I was with my family, we were driving to the movies one day, and I was sideswiped by a drunk driver, and our vehicle flipped, and it crushed my head and my skull, and it left me in a coma. I was pronounced dead at the scene of the accident, and I was up in a coma, and I was in a coma for three months, and my family, my wife and kids were told that I was not going to live. That if I did survive, that I would become vegetable. And when I did come through from the coma, I went through a lot of therapy for physical and mental, because partial parts of my brain were injured. So I had to go for months of therapy for speech, for reading, for writing, and for physical therapy also.
Okay, well, I mean, it's good to hear that you recovered. I used to investigate traffic accidents, and we had a couple of them that were in comas and not expected to live, but woke up several months later, and it was always a blessing, but it was always interesting to be able to talk to them about their experience sometimes, you know. So, I think that money kind of disrupted your life considerably once you got hold of it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that happens a lot, unfortunately. A lot of money can really destroy lives. So, did you know the person that actually killed your wife?
I did not know him. I heard of him through acquaintances and my girlfriend at that time.
Okay. All right. So since you've been incarcerated, tell me what you think has changed about you and the way of thinking that might convince me as one board member to vote for some sort of a release for you. What's changed about you, sir?
Well, sir, I'm mature, and with being mature now, I've learned to, to make better decisions and, to cope with my surroundings and do better things and be, always keep myself in a positive and focused, respectful manner, driven way on my surroundings. And also, I have done a lot of programs where I try to help others and also help myself learn more and more about myself. And the things and skills that I'm able to do, and their traits, and also talk to others to not make mistakes that I have made down my path. And I still continue to get involved in a lot of activities and programs, been involved with community services and other human beings around.
Okay, I see that you spent, that you worked while you've been incarcerated, and it seems that you spent a lot of time as a sewing machine operator. So, was it mending uniforms and things like that?
What I did, sir, is I used to work for CMD Swift. It was a big trucking company, and that was in the Lewis complex, and they did all the upholstery for all the semis at the 18-meter that Swift company owned, they will bring it to me, and I'll post it on the, vehicles.
Oh, okay, so, you're working with a postery rather than clothing?
Well, at this present time, that's what I'm working down, is with clothing.
Okay.
I'm still a seamstress right now, and I'm working with clothing and other things that Department of Corrections needs to...
Okay, well, that's cool, because there's a lot of work that can be done out there between upholstery and even tailor work and stuff. Seamstress? I don't know exactly what the correct term is, but somebody that does alterations and repairs to people's clothes for the cleaners and stuff. So that's pretty good. So I'm going to ask you, I know it was dismissed, but in March of 2014, you had a ticket for participation in a riot. And I know it was dismissed, but what were the circumstances? I mean, I know that the COs don't just write these things up just so they have something to do. There's usually something behind it.
On that situation, was we lived in, at that time, we were living in a dorm setting. And the dorm setting consisted of 7 dorms. And all the other dorms took action, but I was in my dorm, and I kept my dorm at peace. And at that time, when everything happened, because it's like a domino effect, and when everything happened in the other dorms, and then my living location, I kept everything at peace, and that's how that turned out. There was no injuries, and no fighting in the run that I lived in.
Okay, so one of those times when something like a riot breaks out, they write up anybody they suspect might have been involved and then sort it out in a hearing, so to speak, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you don't have a huge disciplinary history or anything, but that was interesting because the initial part of this participation, it doesn't really say what. And once I saw what it was, I thought, well, that's interesting. It is out of norm for your discipline history. So your plan is to live with your mother in Tucson?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. Does she know that?
Yes, I spoke with my mother, Rosie O'Mills, and she's 79 years of age, and God willing, I do want to take care of her, and if God willing, I want to be able to spend a little time with her because she needs. I saw her believe, she needs somebody to assist her, and I want to be that person to help her out.
Okay. I'm a little bit of liberty about asking them, but you'd be surprised at how many people say they live somewhere, but they've never really talked to whoever's in charge of that location and what they actually move in there. Well, seeing as you have a good family support and community support, and that's a very, very important thing. And I think it says that you completed some courses or some programming for re-entry, which is also...
Yes, sir. And a lot of that programming is when you get to see the programming that I did take. I was also a peer educator, and these are the things that I try to promote in a positive way. So a lot of these youngsters coming into the Department of Corrections, so they wouldn't come back and follow that same pattern over and over.
Right.
And, so to their day, I continue to get involved and teach classes.
Well, that's really good. It's always good when an inmate can get involved like that. to straighten up their lives and not come back to prison. It's not the worst place in the world to live. Okay, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. Mr. Canales?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Sorry about that. Mr. Canales, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I wasn't altogether clear on something, and that had to do with how your, or the arrangement in which your wife was murdered. What was your exact involvement then?
Well, my involvement was, I was hanging around with charging officials, and throughout this, we heard what it was, it turned out to be a game, and it was never, was supposed to extend to this extreme, and that's how it turned out. It was supposed to be a game, and it just turned out to go too far, and that's what turned out to the murder of my wife.
Okay, so are you saying that you didn't pay for the murder of your wife?
I did not pay for that, no, sir.
Okay. Just a curious question. You came into a settlement from an unrelated accident earlier. Do you still have resources left over from that settlement?
No, sir.
Okay. And I think you said something about your maturity at that time. But I think you were about 30 years old at the time of the crime, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How have you matured since? Because with respect, the average person is settling down around 30 years old. We hear a lot in this board about the maturity of the mind. It's a big issue in science, but it would seem that by 30 years old you would have been stabilized. So why were you hanging out with gang-like people?
At that time, sir, I was lonely, and yes, I miss my wife, and I miss my children, and yes, I love my wife dearly, and I was trying to reconcile with my wife, and I continued to try to reconcile, and because she was and is the love of my life, and and I wanted to be with her, and when I was no longer in the household, in the home, I got real lonely and just started, just doing things incorrectly, making bad choices and decisions, and just finding people and acquaintances that were just in bad activities and poor lifestyle. And this kind of, at that time, I felt like I was doing something, and meeting people, keeping my mind occupied, because I really, wanted my life back and try to reconcile. And so when I did find a job, and then I started working, and then I started living a fast lifestyle, and in the fast lifestyle, I got involved with bad acquaintances and bad choices.
Bad choices like drugs?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm not going to ask any further questions at this point. Thank you, Mr. Mills.
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Mr. Dole, I know they've asked this question a couple of times. I'm just trying to understand. I know you said that you started hanging out with the wrong crowd or a bad company and getting some bad advice. But in 91, you had a couple domestic violence cases. What was going on? And then you had a restriction that was put on you. What was going on during that period of time?
Well, during that period of time, I left the house, and there again, I wanted to reconcile my wife, so I would try to go and talk to her, and show her that things worked, because, you know, I wanted to be together, you know, be together and reconcile. So when I would go over there to the house, I would get arrested for domestic violence, because, you know, I was out of place and shouldn't have been there because of a restraining order. And that's how I would, you know, the domestic violence would come along.
Okay, so we don't have all of the police report. I'm just looking at the pre-sentence report, and basically the pre-sentence report says that Mr. Estrella, Frank Estrella, was the one who murdered your wife, and that he told the police officer that you paid him to murder your wife, and that the money that he got for was received from Miss Laura Valencia. And I'm just trying to understand what happened. I know my other colleagues has asked a couple of times, but I still didn't get a clear understanding of what happened. There's three people involved in this incident: yourself, Miss Valencia, and Frank Estrella. And I'm trying to understand, sir, how did all of that take place?
That took place is she had friends that were involved with Mr. Estrella, and that's how she met Mr. Estrella. I did not meet Mr. Estrella, and you know, the funds did not come from my pocket, but that was an acquaintance of Laura. There's some friends of hers.
So why did Laura pay someone to kill your wife, sir?
Well, sir, like I said, at first it just started as you know, just talk, you know, that she doesn't want to, you know, do this or do that, so I think you should kill your wife, and that's how that started. And you know, and by all means, it never should have went to this extreme, and it happened unexpectedly.
So, are you saying that Laura was the one who came up with the plot and indicated that your wife should be killed?
That's how the first time that she indicated that, and, you know, and I fell for that, you know, I fell for her. But you know that it was just like in a game, just a joke, and I guess she, you know, just went to
okay, so where did Laura get the money? Where did Laura get the money to pay Mr. Estrella to kill your wife?
I don't know, sir. I don't know. I don't know where she got the money, but
how much money did she pay?
I don't know the exact amount, sir.
But you didn't give her any of that money?
No, I didn't
give
the money,
sir. Yeah. Okay, thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Mills, were your children present when the mother was murdered?
Yes, ma'am.
And how old were they?
If I remember correctly, 8, 7, and 6, or 8, 7, 5.
Okay. And I'm still very, very unclear about your role in this whole thing. Why are you in prison doing 25 years to life for murder first degree? What was your role? What did you do?
What I did, I did get involved with these people, and it did, and the murder did happen, like I was saying, it started as, you know, just, it was mentioned to me, and then I didn't know that this was going to play out like that, and it did play out, and she did get murdered.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
So that's it. But like I said, I take full responsibility for my actions, and it's been 25 years ago, and I told my broken.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Doyle, and me too.
Did you have another question?
Yes, sir. So you say that you take full responsibility for your actions and what you did, but we're trying to understand, what were your actions? What were your actions?
Well, my actions mean that I knew that this was mentioned, and I knew that it did happen, and I knew that Laura had brought this to my attention, and, you know, that this happened on this night, but it wasn't even supposed to happen. I mean, nothing like that was supposed to happen. And you know, I take full responsibility because I knew that Laura was involved with what was going on, and it proceeded and it went to this extreme, and it happened. You know, and yes, I knew about it, and I think that I could have stopped that.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Dr. Ray.
Yes, sir. I just want to follow up. I'm totally confused. You say you take full responsibility for whatever happened, and yet you were not involved. So what are you taking full responsibility for, sir?
I'm sorry?
What are you taking full responsibility for? You say you take full responsibility.
I'm taking full responsibility for the murder of my wife.
If you did not murder your wife, why are you taking full responsibility?
Because I knew that this had happened, and I knew that it was mentioned, and I take full responsibility for even allowing this to happen, sir.
So in other words, you just didn't. What happened? You just didn't take it serious when they were talking about the murder, and you didn't take it serious? I'm just trying to figure out what, and I think that the board did, but I'm going to speak for myself. I'm just trying to figure out what was your role in this whole process, or this whole crime. What were you, well, why did you take responsibility for something? Yes, you knew about it, but you didn't do it. I'm just trying to figure out what was really going on, sir, in your mind.
I could have stopped this and prevented this from happening when my girlfriend had mentioned this, and I should have allowed this to happen. And so I take full responsibility for allowing this to happen, and you know, for thanks for being, you know, getting involved in the way that happened.
So when did you take full responsibility? Is it the day of the crime, or 2 months later, 2 years later? When did you take responsibility for it in your mind, sir?
I've been, like, for about 25 years, I knew that I had taken responsibility for my actions, that I'm not behavior and not making good choices. And for the last 25 years, I've accepted the responsibility of the murder of my wife.
What about the other people? Do you think they have any responsibility? You know, your girlfriend and all of them, do they have a responsibility, or was it just you, sir, who had responsibility for this murder?
Well, sir, I want to say that it was my responsibility, and I'm responsible for
the burden of
the
life. Okay, sir. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Dr. Grant.
Any questions from the board?
I have one more question, sir, just real quick. At the time of the murder, did you have any of those funds left from your settlement in the bank?
The time of the murder, I don't recall if I did, sir, and how much was left in the bank. I don't recall that.
Okay.
I believe there might have been a little bit.
Okay. So at this time, I'm going to call on your supporters. There's quite a number here. How many of you wish to actually speak on Mr. Moore's behalf? Okay, if you'd like to come up to the podium.
Okay.
And state your name and then tell the board what you'd like us to know.
Hi, my name is Renee Mills. I'm the brother of Alex Mills. I know this happened a long time ago when he was a lot younger, and he had always been a father figure to all of us growing up and stuff. And I see him probably every other week. I go visit him ever since he's been incarcerated. And I know he knows what he did wrong. We talked about it, and I would really love him to come home one of these days. I don't know when it could happen, but what he did was really wrong. You know, his kids are here. And they know what he did. You know, we've all talked about it. They know the truth, what had happened. I wish it never would have happened, because, you know, we all love Norma. I still care for their family. You know, we still talk at family gatherings. And I feel for them. I have a daughter and a son. And I would never wish that would happen to my daughter. I really don't. And whatever happens, I'm glad they came today, because, you know, this is their daughter. I would do the same. But everything's left up to you guys. And that's all I have to say. And thank you guys for hearing. I don't know if you guys have any questions for me or anything.
I have a question. I do want to thank you for being so honest with the board.
Yes, sir.
I find what you say very meaningful. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Does anyone else like to speak? Sir, would you state your name, please?
My name is Alex M. Conyers, and Mr. and Mrs. Fields gave me the pleasure and honor of offering to baptize Alex in the Catholic sacrament. That was many, many years ago. I was at service when I came here to do that. I have always been very proud of him. I admired him and his family and the way he treated them. I would go to their house, and I would never see a need. I'm talking about they had a roof over their head, and he was always in a worker. It's been many, many years that this happened. I have followed him all the way from during the course of his trials, his hearings. To the Jewish prisons, to Buckeye, to Wilmot. And the record will show that, you will see that most of the time I am there every other weekend. I have experienced it from the other inmates at the prison, where they would go by and they would hit me on the shoulder and they would always say, "That is a good young man, Mills." And I'm talking from every race. I find it very, very surprising that in 25 years, this man does not have a tattoo in his body. I am really without, I can't explain myself that the respect that he gets from the corrections officers and from the inmates. He's always helping everyone. He's always involved in cancer fundraisings and making up baseball teams. He's always on call. He's just an amazing man. His dad and I had said, we hope he lives so that we can see him back home with his family. Since that time, Mr. Mills has passed on. Brother has passed on. Our families have passed on. I cannot say or even start to feel how this family here.
Can you speak to the board, sir?
Can you speak to the board, please? Our family there has been able to go through these 25 years. We have suffered a lot with, and the family behind us. This is, if you see his confinement record, you will, the gentleman brought up the fact about that Alex was in a riot. It also shows there that it was expunged, but nevertheless, because it was written, it was still his record. But the rest, if you notice, the other six or seven minor write-ups that he's, that it shows, my goodness, in 45 years, and not having tattoos and not being in trouble and so on, that tells you that this man has made a big change. And I want to thank you so, so very much.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from the board? No questions?
Yes.
Thank you. There are no questions for you. Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak on behalf of Mr. Miller? Can you talk to the podium? State your name and tell us what you'd like us to know.
My name is Norma Mills, and I'm the granddaughter of Alex Mills. I just wanted to say that I love my grandmother and my grandfather very deeply, and because of the actions that I've taken in the past, I can see the emptiness of the figure's father, daughter, mother that has happened, and I think after everything, I would just like him to come home. Because every time we visit him, I just like, you can see he misses out on all the things in our lives, and it's never the same when you try to explain it to him. It's just like, he has to be there, and I think it's just time for him to come home.
That's it. Question? Thank you very much, man. Anyone else like to speak on behalf of Mr. Miller? No one else for Mr. Mills. Okay, so at this time, I'd like to turn it over to the Deputy County Attorney from Pima County, and you can decide victims first, you first, whichever way you would like to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wait 1 second here. The victim, Sister Irma, would like to address the board, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning. State your name and then tell us what you'd like us to know.
Let's see if I can do this.
It's fine.
Get me out of the house when I was living with my sister to support her. We could approve it, but I don't know. And I mean, he's just a scary man at that part. He tries to kill whatever he wants. And I'm afraid for even being up here saying that, but I just don't think he's ready to be up. That's it.
Question from the board? No questions. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Mr. Mayor, with the board's permission, I think Mr. Palacios has a couple letters
from
the victim's parents who are here, but they'd rather have their letters read by him, if you don't mind.
Well, that's fine.
Good morning, board members. My name is Alejandro Palacios, victim advocate for the Office of Victim Services at the Arizona Department of Corrections. I'm going to be reading three statements from the deceased victim's family. To whom it may concern, we, the parents of Norma Mills, do not support Alex to be released from prison. Although we know we will never have our daughter back, Alex being in prison and paying for what he did to our daughter makes the pain sting a little less because of justice is being served with honor. He does not deserve to be free. 25 years or any amount of years will never be long enough in exchange for not having our daughter be here with us today. We are afraid for the safety of our family if he is released and for speaking out to prevent his chance at parole. In writing this letter, we are hoping to be the voice of our daughter who cannot be here today and defend herself against this man. We hope we are heard and the justice for our daughter continues to be served. Sincerely, Joe and Alicia Hernandez. Dear honorable members of the parole board, my name is Fernando Hernandez. I am writing to respectfully request that you deny parole for Alex Mills. He's currently serving 25 years to life for the murder of Norma Mills. Alex is a very selfish and manipulative person. He planned for Frank Estrella to murder my sister, the mother of his kids, knowing that his three children were in the house at the time. As a father of three, I will do everything in my power to protect my children from any pain that is called unconditional love that a parent has the privilege of having. Alex should not get that privilege of having any type of relationship. He has not shown any remorse. He still claims to this day that he was not involved. Someone that cannot take responsibility for his or her actions should not have the right to be out in the world. If he feels that he has done nothing wrong, then what makes us think he could not do this again? He should not be able to be out and free to live his life when my sister doesn't get a chance to live hers. He took my sister from us. It is only right that he gets everything taken from him. We need to live with the choices that we make in life. He made his, and these are the consequences he faces. Sincerely, Fernando Hernandez.
Thank you, sir.
One more. Hi, my name is John Hernandez. I am writing this on behalf of my sister, Norma Hernandez. This monster of so-called man, Alex Mills, should not be released from prison for he murdered my sister. Not a day goes by that I don't think and cry for her. We will celebrate our birthdays together every year. Hers was March 18th, mine March 16th. It's been a lonely past 26 years without her. Her children had grown up without a mother. This murderer should not have the right to live his life freely as he would to be a danger to my family and to society itself. Please, I beg you to leave this monster in prison where he belongs. Thank you, John Hernandez.
Questions? Sure.
Fernando, if you know, I don't think anybody else in the family wishes to directly address the board. My name is Rick Unclesby. I'm with the Pima County Attorney's Office. I was the trial prosecutor in Mr. Mills' case and also Mr. Estrella's case, who the board heard last week. I'm sure this, I can't imagine sitting in your place because I'm sure these are very difficult cases when you have an individual with very little disciplinary action and the family here that is supportive of them. And I can't imagine what has to go through the board's minds in terms of what you do with regards to release, but I think it is important for you to through the facts of the case that came out at the trial. And also, it seems to me that acceptance of responsibility is a huge part of the rehabilitative process. And until one can truly accept what they did and admit that to everybody, it seems to me that rehabilitation is not complete. It seems from the statements of Mr. Mills' family that everybody in the family knows exactly what it was that he did in this case, but he's simply unwilling to admit that. The facts are that Mr. Estrella, after he went through his own trial, ended up testifying on behalf of the state in Mr. Mills' trial. Laura Valencia also testified at the trial. The Court of Appeals, in their affirmation of Mr. Mills' conviction and sentence, laid out the facts of the case, at least how Mr. Mills started this whole process. And reading from the Court of Appeals opinion, while the dissolution of marriage action was pending, Mr. Mills provided large quantities of illegal drugs to Frank Estrella for Estrella to sell. This belies Mr. Mills' statement to the board, of course, that he didn't know Mr. Estrella, because the facts that were reported at the trial and what the Court of Appeals indicated was that Mills was, in fact, supplying the drugs. In one transaction, Estrella lost a kilogram of cocaine, and Mr. Mills claimed that Estrella owed him $10,000 for it. Upset with the dissolution proceedings, Mr. Mills arranged for Estrella to murder Norma because, quote, she was taking everything he owned, unquote. Mr. Mills insisted that Estrella owed him for losing the cocaine. In February of 1993, Estrella went to Norma's residence, and in the presence of appellants, Mr. Mills' children fatally shot Norma in the chest. Before he left, Estrella took a bracelet from the table to prove that he'd been in Norma's home. Estrella paged appellant, who then met him in a nearby grocery store. When Estrella gave Mr. Mills the bracelet, Mr. Mills smiled and handed Estrella another $4,500. The testimony at trial revealed that while Mr. Mills did not commit the murder himself, he got Frank Estrella, who was at the time a 23-year-old kid who was selling drugs for him, to commit the murder to make up for some of the drugs that he'd lost. Mr. Mills, the testimony showed at trial, Mr. Mills showed Frank Estrella how to get to the house, how to get in the house, told him how to get in the house. And the thing that was always very troubling to me was that Alex Mills knew his children would be home when he sent Frank Estrella over there. The children at the time, I think, were the youngest one, Brian, was 4 or 5 years of age. There was a daughter who was 7 or 8, and then the oldest one that I heard from was about 10 or so. But Alex Mills knew his children would be home when he sent this man over to the house with a gun to take Norma's life. The testimony at trial was that Norma was holding the youngest child, Ryan, in her arms when Frank Strayer went up to her. He moved the child aside, put the gun up to Norma, and took her life, and then was paid, as the testimony showed, another $4,500 by Alex Mills to do this. I fully recognize that Mr. Mills, the last 25 years, he's probably, probably sort of in the top 10 of people who have had a lack of discipline. And I'm certainly glad to see that he is not causing problems in prison and perhaps even a mentor to others. But again, if the board denies parole, which I would ask you to do, if he comes back here in a year and can take full responsibility for what it was that he did, and not try to convince people that he did nothing to deserve a life sentence in this case, I mean, that might be a different situation at that point. He has, by his actions 25 years ago, he not only impacted Norma Mills' parents and her siblings, but as you can see, I mean, his own family has been impacted greatly by his actions. It's difficult for them to be here as well. Everybody behind me knows what Alex Mills did 25 years ago, but he will not own up to it. And I would suggest that until he accepts that kind of responsibility, that he is not a good risk for Woods. And because of the nature of the crime he committed, one other thing too, before I leave the Court of Appeals opinion, this was a situation, not to say a one-time situation. The testimony at trial, because this was an appellate issue, while the dissolution of marriage was still pending, the court allowed me to get evidence in at trial, and the Court of Appeals affirmed that this was appropriate evidence, was that while the court hearings were proceeding on this dissolution, Alex Mills cut the brake lines of Norman Mills' car when they were downtown at court. I had to call in his attorney to show in front of the jury to show how all this could have happened, but he made attempts on her life, at least on this one occasion, when he cut the brake lines. There were prior, I think Ms. Rittenhouse brought up the prior offenses of domestic violence. My office, when those were happening, they were misdemeanors. We had to convince Norma that she should testify against her husband about these domestic violence, and she was very reluctant to do so, as the board's probably familiar with that. In any event, he clearly has not accepted responsibility. He, therefore, in my mind, has not really been rehabilitated. He has caused pain to so many people in his family, in Norma's family. And I would ask the board at this point to deny his first request for parole.
Thank you. Any questions from the board?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. On Mr. Oglesby, a couple of follow-up questions, and this is based on the facts of the case, and you seem to be very familiar with them. To the best of your knowledge, was Ms. Valencia an active girlfriend to Mr. Mills when this incident happened?
The testimony, she testified at trial, and she testified about her relationship, girlfriend-boyfriend, if you would, relationship with Mr. Mills at the time of the murder.
Okay. And the reason why I ask is because there was a statement of Mr. Mills that he was seeking reconciliation and that the victim was the love of his life. And I just kind of...
You know, I obviously can't speak for what Mr. Mills hoped to get out of this, but the divorce proceedings were going on at the time, and obviously I wasn't involved in those either. But I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Yeah, no, it's hard to find the right words that I'm looking for right now because you can ask Mr. Mills. I guess I was getting into the facts of the case as understood by the court.
Well, what I can tell Mr. Cornelius is that the evidence at trial was that Norma was killed during the pendency of these divorce proceedings. And as I said, I even called, or it may have been the defense that called him, but I questioned the divorce lawyer, Mr. Mills' divorce lawyer at trial, about this issue, about the brake lines, because it happened outside the lawyer's office. And Norma had parked about a block away. So at the time of murder, certainly the evidence showed that the divorce proceedings were still pending. There was no attempt that I'm aware of to withdraw those and reconcile in any fashion.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. No more questions? Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak on behalf of the victims? No? Okay. Well, Mr. Mills,
yes,
we're getting back to you now. Everybody in the boardroom that wished to speak on your behalf or on the victim's behalf has spoken. Board is nearing going to go into discussion in a moment or two. Before we do that, though, we would like to give you an opportunity to make a last statement. If there's anything else that you would like to tell the board, now would be the time to do it. We just ask that you don't repeat all the information we've already covered. So is there anything else you'd like to tell, sir?
No,
Yes, sir. Alex Crane's bill is going to come before the Board of Executive Penalty. I come to deal with a heavy heart, and I am responsible for my actions I committed 25 years ago, and avenge the murder of my wife and my girls. And for this, I will be sorry forever and remorseful. You know, when I was young, I did not place, you know, the emphasis on the value of life. You know, and this weighs heavy in my heart for the past 25 years. And I wish I could bring all of that. I wish I could bring it back. And I just feel a deep emptiness, you know, in my heart, to the loss I created, you know, and being deeply remorseful for my actions and my poor lifestyle that cost the life of Norma and Norma Lisa Mills. I hurt and placed a lot of hurt and pain and void in Hernandez family's lives and in Norma's parents, Joe and Lisa Hernandez, and her brothers and her sister, as well as our children. And, you know, I know that it hurt will never compare to the hurt that caused everyone, Norma's family, as well as our children. And I am deeply sorry for being responsible for the murder of my wife, Norma Lisa Mills. And I will continue to ask God, Norma in heaven, and our children, and Norma's family, and Hernandez family, to one day forgive me. And, you know, I do take full responsibility for my actions and the murder of my wife, Norma Lisa Mills. And I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board's going to be going to discuss and make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. If you may think that we're addressing you, but we won't be. But we ask you to stay on the phone. Just remain silent. You can hear the entire conversation. And once we've made a determination, I'll get back with you. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
And the board is now in discussion. Well, it's, I guess it's an objective way of saying it, but I think this is an interesting case. It's very tragic. It's an unfortunate situation that Mr. Mills is in. And the loss of any life is tragic. And the disruption of lives afterward is as tragic, if not more so. Children exposed to that kind of traumatic situation can grow up to be extremely, out of the ordinary when it comes to the way they act, and not in a good way. If nobody intervened with the children at the time this happened and helped them properly, which, you know, places can be tough, they can go through a lot of trauma and a lot of mental health issues. So when you start, you know, you take life, yes, the life is gone, but the survivors have to continue on until they pass away. And the hurt can be there not only for the victim's family, but the children are a family, you know, so they're on the victim's side. But looking at the totality of the case is what I try to do. As one voting member of the board, and this is, the totality of what happened at the time is very tragic, but it's very unnecessary and seems to be a lot of forethought put into the overall plan. Not good forethought, but forethought. So now we come to 25, 26 years later, and Mr. Mills is before the board to, you know, seek some sort of release.
When it comes to that, as a voting member, I definitely like to see an inmate take ownership of what happened. And I think part of ownership is being able to verbalize what happened. Mr. Mills, that's the one thing that just never kind of seemed to come out in what he was saying is, did I take full responsibility for what I did? Well, what did you do? We never had an answer. I had Mr. Valenzuela kill my estranged wife. I asked Mr. Valenzuela to do it. Mr. Valenzuela suggested did that part of it just never comes out? Mr. Alton's being to do a job of verbalizing what was in the public decision, and usually by then that's accepted as the first trial of the finding of facts and the appellate court upheld those facts. So the facts say that not quite like Mr. Mills is relating it to the board. So all that comes down to I don't see him as a good candidate for any kind of parole home arrest or after the discharge at this time, but I'm going to listen to discussion from a fellow board member. Mr. Canales.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Just a quick follow-up, and I do agree with you. I feel for all the family members in this case. It seems that everyone is a victim in one form or another. I can't help but feel that there are holes in the story. It's just another way of stating what you already did. I'm not comfortable with the accounting of the incident, and I'm a bit confused that Mr. Miles is taking responsibility for the crime, or at least seemingly downplaying his involvement. And I'll pass it back from there.
Thank you, Mr. Fennels.
I agree with you, Mr. Neal, but all five board members asked Mr. Mills what he did, and he cannot or will not answer that question, so I'm not in favor of release.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Johnson?
I agree with Albert T.
May I answer something?
Not entirely.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so this time I'm going to make a motion, and based on all the information we have heard today, testimony and information in the reports, the various reports, I am going to move to deny Mr. Alex Mills, AUC number 119719, deny rightful home arrest to actually discharge at this time. And with the date of the offense, I'm going to ask for one year set off. So that would be my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, second by Mr. Canovas, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. And the reason for that was a serious survival offense for the loss of human life. And I'm going to say serious indeed offense because of having someone else do it. Trauma to the victim. History of assaulting behavior with the domestic violence charges, and that would fall into prior criminal history also. There is more programming available, so I'm going to more viable programming. And unless there's something else that would you know?
Would you consider multiple victims in this case, because the children were present at the time of the murder?
I guess we could. Because they are victims. They
certainly are.
And especially if one was being held by the mother at the time of the shooting.
Is there anything else you would like to add?
Okay. So, Mr. Mills, you heard the conversation. The board has voted to deny any parole home arrest or active discharge at this time, and you heard the reasons we listed. So you understand, sir?
I do, sir.
In about 12 months, about a year, the Department of Corrections will certify you for another hearing,
And at that time, you will back for the board and we'll see if anything has changed at that time. All right, sir?
Yes, sir.
This is what you're hearing, and put the CO3 back on the phone, please.
CO3? Yes, sir. Hey, like I was saying, sir, I take full responsibility, sir.
Sir, there's no more discussion at this time. The hearing is over. The board has denied you any release at this time, so we put the CO3 back on the phone, please.
Yes, sir.